The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, let's crack open the champagne, because the Biden administration, when they said that inflation was transitory, well, golly gee willikers, that's going to be true, because yesterday, ladies and gentlemen, you didn't feel the hand of God coming down and blessing the good old U.S. of A. You missed it, because thanks to Joe Biden and Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema and Kamala Harris, it's all over. They've taken care of it with the Inflation Reduction Act. So happy days are here again. And all that worry and consternation, all the things that we've been feeling for the past couple years with the economy, well, that all pretty much ended with the stroke of a pen, so to speak, yesterday. And so when we come to a new Money Monday, I guess there's just nothing but good news to talk about. And I will say this, today is Monday, August 8th, meaning last week was Monday, August 1st, but I had what my father would call a senior moment and forgot that it was the first Monday of the month, which is when we would normally do a full show with our friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. But I will give myself some credit, David Fisher. I did remember that I forgot. So I guess my old age isn't quite as bad as I thought. How you doing? Got to be there somewhere. He was there. Now he's not there. Now let's see if he is there. Hey, David, are you there?
Can you hear me, Steve?
Now I gotcha. Did you hear anything I said in the intro?
Yes, I did. I heard every word you were saying. I had a senior moment, too. Like, I text you. But I would say our senior moment is nothing in reference to Our administrators, leaders' senior moment in the ridiculous verbiage and antics we're seeing, and promises that are not even going to come close to hitting the bullseye. I'm going to be on my soapbox. I have to lower my blood pressure. I need a run today later on to lower that, and I am upset with this, to say the least.
Yeah, and it's really amazing, and given the scope of what they're trying to do, what they think they're doing, and relative to the news cycle, most people aren't even this got passed yesterday. Most people aren't even talking about it today. They're talking about whatever they're talking about, and most people not really understanding what's going on. But to your senior moment and my senior moment from last week, Joe Biden and his administration, all 4 years is going to be a giant senior moment. I mean, it's just really amazing what's going on there. So where do we start with this historic bill? They call it the Inflation Reduction Act. It's going to do anything but that. But tell us about us and tell us about this bill and what's in there, and help us to kind of understand what they just did and what's coming our way.
Well, hopefully as his senior moments will lead him into the old folks home.
Lost him again. All right, I'm putting David on hold. We're going to say that's twice now. Something goofy's going on. I don't know where that's happening in the whole process. Let me come
hear
back
me.
To that. Yeah, now I got you. Sorry about that, David. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, you were saying about the whole senior moment thing with the Biden administration.
Yeah, so hopefully his senior moment will lead him into the old folks home, and that's where he will stay a year from November, and we won't have this anymore. But back to the bill. The bill is just disturbing. They had to bring in Kamala Harris to, because it was a bipartisan vote, down along party lines.
Right, 50-50.
And she 50-50. So she broke the tie vote. It was a marathon of hours, 20-some hours of going back and forth, and the Democrats trying to defend the title of the bill, the Inflation Reduction Act, when there's really nothing in there that leads to that. In fact, others say it's just the opposite. But Chuck Schumer, announced he practically did backflips, if he could do such a thing. That's been a long and tough and winding road, that we finally arrived, he said. We got it done today. Because this is something they've been working on for over a year. And it's a $430 billion spending bill is what I see it as. It's supposed to combat climate change and extend health care coverage, savings on prescription drugs. There's some negative things that it does. It puts taxes on corporations. 15% corporate tax is added. Companies that buy back their stocks are now going to pay 1% tax on buyback of stocks. And probably the most disturbing thing of all is this is going to double is the size to the IRS. They're going to go on a hiring spree, adding 87,000 IRS agents with a funding of $80 billion. They're coming after the middle and income, upper income wage earner. Unfortunately, they're targeting you and I and others like us.
Yeah, and that's a remarkable thing just to hear in and of itself that they're essentially doubling the size and adding 87,000 agents as if it functions correctly the way it is. And let's double down on the size of the bureaucracy and the number of people in there. And then they always act, David, you know this better than most. They always act like whenever they say, well, we got to deal with these dirty, rotten corporations. And I agree, there's plenty of corporate cronyism going on there with the federal government because of special interests and all that mess. But anytime they try to raise taxes on these entities, these businesses, in whatever form, and they're doing it in a number of ways in this particular bill, it's not like the corporations just go, oh, okay, we'll just take a hit on the bottom line. They always pass that along to, well, you and me, which increases prices, which sounds a lot like inflation. I lost him again. we're kind of coming to a break here. I think we're going to have to get David to call in again and see, is it us or him? I don't know what's going on there. I'll bring it back up, see if I can get him. I think he's talking to him right now. So I don't know what's exactly going on there. I think they're reconnecting. But we're going to unpack this a bit. And that's the funny thing about it. And he was referencing what Chuck Schumer said. Today, Senate Democrats sided with American families over special interests, voting to lower the cost of prescription drugs, health insurance, and everyday energy costs. How are you going to do that? By going wind and solar. That's not going to work. Reduce the deficit while making the wealthiest corporations finally pay their fair share. That was Biden. And then, of course, Schumer before that was all excited, thinking that this will be it will endure as one of the defining legislative feats of the 21st century. Yes, that's true. I agree, Chuck. It is going to endure as one of the defining legislative feats of the 21st century because it's going to be that big of a train wreck. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking today about, they call it the Anti-Inflation Reduction Act, right? Inflation Reduction Act. That's what Biden and Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, in a little bit of trouble with the left because she was able to take care of some really wealthy people in that deal, some private equity people, because of Kyrsten Sinema got them out of some hot water as they were going after the wealthy. But none of that stuff will work, obviously. And then anytime you're raising taxes in the middle of a recession, that's not a great idea. That's going to hurt the inflation problem. It's going to make it worse, even though they call it the Inflation Reduction Act. So who cares what they call it? What matters is what's in there. And that's why we're talking to our good friend David Fisher. David, are we better now? I know you switched to your cell phone.
Yeah, I think we're a lot better.
Okay, excellent. Very good. Yeah, I got you. So we were talking about doubling the IRS agents to 87,000, pouring billions of dollars into that. And that should make everybody a little nervous. But there's a lot to this bill. So let's unpack this one major issue at a time, wherever you want to start.
So let's go to how they're saying it's going to lower inflation. They say that if we go from fossil fuels to green, that's going to cost less money. So there's a big subsidies in this bill,
yes,
towards the automakers. It's not going to help the consumer. In fact, I'm reading about portions of the bill. It's unlikely that any electric vehicles are going to get qualified for the $7,500 tax credit because the conditions of this bill fall on material manufacturing. So the corporations that manufacture electric vehicles are going to get the benefit of it. And ironically, you know, we're seeing, you know, Ford up today. We're seeing General Motors up today, you know, fairly, you know, 3.5%, 4.5%. So, yeah, that's the market's interpreting that this is a good thing for those areas. But the reality is they're saying that oil is going to come down substantially. But the reality of oil is up today. It's not that one day of, you know, electric or, you know, car stocks going up,
right,
or oil going up is a precedent for all every future day of trading. But it is setting a precedence of this is how Wall Street interprets this bill. So it's not going to help the consumer. And that's where the rubber meets the road. 45% of the people cannot make their bills.
Right.
In America.
Yeah, and
the bill does not target that person.
No, and then every time they talk about electric cars and all of that, they always leave out the fact that this is a story. This is just from July 25th. The average electric car price hit $66,000 in the U.S. $66,000 is the average electric price, electric car price in the U.S. The average American, most Americans cannot afford a $66,000 vehicle. So they talk about, hey, we'll get more electric, we'll get more green, that'll help. Not anytime soon. And in the meantime, it drives prices up. It's really just ridiculous how given over, literally, they just worship at the altar this Green New Deal. And this is more proof of it.
Yeah. And so it's the title of the bill. If we shrink it down to the letters, what it stands for, IRA, I'm going to be a little bit conspiratorial here. I think I'm going to go through the back door. We talked about this before. The government does things not what they say up front, but what they're doing behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And if we dissect this bill and we talk about the IRS, let's put this thing into perspective. According to Free Beacon, that's an independent research company, they point out that this funding of $80 billion towards the IRS, doubling its workforce to 87,000 employees, it would be manpower-wise, Free Beacon says, if you add the Pentagon, the State Department, the FBI, and the Border Patrol combined, the IRS will be bigger than all of those entities combined, Steve.
Yeah, man.
And then you read this, and the Congressional Budget Office found that the hiring of these new IRS agents would provide approximately $200 billion more additional revenue, focusing on the middle income to upper income wage earner, those earning wages less than $400,000. It reminds me of what President Biden said multiple times when he campaigned for president. Make it clear, I am not raising taxes on those who made $400,000 or less. When he got in office, he said that multiple times, and yet this bill, backdoor, does exactly that.
Yeah, that's why it's amazing that they continue to just pump their fists in the air talking about, hey, we're doing what we need to do to reduce inflation, which was not that bad anyway and transitory anyway, and to do the turnaround, do the exact opposite. But they do, you know, they kind of salt it up a little bit talking about, well, we're going to help people with their our pharmaceuticals, with their drug prices. We're going to lower drug prices, yada, yada. But the question is always, how do they do that? And does it have the desired effect? And that's almost never what happens.
So with the lowering of drug prices, they're doing in reference to that, they're extending the Affordable Care Act that's supposed to run out here. They're extending it for 3 more years. Last time I checked, my insurance premiums and my drug prescription costs have not come down since 2010 in the aftermath of the Affordable Care Act. So this is an extension of this for 3 more years of the subsidization of it from the government. Does not lower anybody's cost of living unless it's a very small segment. I would encourage anybody hearing my voice, send me an email at info@landmarkgold.com. If you're in that category where actually this extension helps you, and we'll talk about that. But everybody I posed this to, and already been on 3 radio stations this morning, no, I haven't gotten any emails. So we'll find out, but I don't see where it's benefiting on the drug side of things or healthcare.
Yeah, and then, and again, in a free market situation, when you're doing anything to go after corporations, that always ends. That's why it's so. You want to talk about prescription drug prices. You want to talk about crony capitalism. And I believe all those things are problematic and we should do something about it. But you don't try to go after the corporations in the middle of a recession because you're just going to add more cost, which they don't absorb. They dump it on us. That's just simple mathematics, simple economics, isn't it?
Well, that's the problem with the administration doesn't understand simple economics. They think if you tax more and if you spend more, you'll get more revenue generation and more boom for every economic dollar you're spending. The problem is that theory has been blown out of the water. We used to spend $1, get $7 return prior to year 2000. Now we spend $7 and get $1 return. It's upside down, and this is just more of the upside downness in their thinking and their financial philosophy, and unfortunately it hasn't worked in the past, and it's not going to work this time either. This is more of this.
Yeah, and so are they, you know, we talked about this last week in terms of when the Fed's all of a sudden going to stop raising rates and might do a reverse and start lowering them, and we're going to hit the break here in a minute, but about 30 seconds. But I want to talk about that, David. Is this actually going to affect the inflation outlook? What are the markets saying? What's the Fed going to do in reaction to this? Because if they keep raising rates, then that basically is proof that it's not working. You raise rates because inflation is getting worse, and that's how you get it under control. So it's going to be interesting to continue to talk about this. How's it affecting the market, stocks, precious metals? We got all of that to get into with David Fisher today. I'm going to put you on hold, buddy. Talking to David Fisher, Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. And once again, isn't it sad? I looked on Fox News. This is like the 10th or 12th story down the row on Fox News. Nobody's talking about it, but we should. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. A little Bee Gees there, which reminds me of John Travolta, which reminds me of Olivia Newton-John, who's died today at 73 years of age. I guess she had been fighting cancer for some time. And I just went through all the biggest conservative websites on the break, and only one of them had the Inflation Reduction Act, this boondoggle that they just passed in the Senate yesterday. Only one of them had that in like the top three. Everybody else, it's 10, 12, 14, 16 on one particular website. It was number 26. That was the Daily Wire. That was Ben Shapiro's website. You had to get to the 26th story today. And this passed yesterday, not a week ago Sunday, but yesterday. And on Ben Shapiro's website, you get to the 26th story on the homepage of the website to get anything about this bill, which is pathetic. And I don't know why they don't cover this stuff, probably because they think it's over the head of your average American. And unfortunately, maybe it is. But that's why we're happy to have our good friend David Fisher with us today. Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com, as always. David, thanks for being here today and helping us understand this and spending time on it yourself. And I don't know if you heard what I just said, but it is pretty pathetic that the majority of the major conservative websites isn't showing up in their top 10 at all.
Yeah, when the government spends $500 billion through a very controversial topic and vote at a margin and the vice president has to come in, I would think this would be at the top of the websites of news media. But that's unfortunate because if you don't take care of your money, it can't be there to take care of you. And certainly the government doesn't take care of money very well. That's why we're in this dilemma.
Yeah, it's really remarkable to kind of see that. And then so in terms of inflation outlook, the Fed raising rates. I mean, I assume if they raise rates, that means they're still worried about inflation. So we'll see what happens. But what effect do you think this is going to have on what the Fed's going to do?
So I don't think the Fed is independent from the government. At least that's what they say. And they're still going to continue to raise rates like they projected last week. I had a whole other set of things. We're going to go in depth on that topic, but I'll just give the highlights of it. So last week, Jerome Powell said that, you know, we're going to keep raising rates, but then he says eventually we will change courses. The market, Steve, interpreted that as, hey, the Fed's going to pivot. Okay, I've been talking about this Fed pivot for about 6 weeks now. I still think the Fed's going to pivot. What is that for those that play basketball or understand it? Going one direction, all of a sudden pivot, turn, and go the other direction. That's the pivot. So the Fed's been raising rates from a quarter of a point. Now we're at 2.5%. They're going to keep raising it 3.5 to 4%. They say they're going to tame inflation. There's no way you can tame inflation when you raise rates to 4% if the inflation rate is 9.1%. You have to get the rate above the inflationary number. Historically, that's the only way we've been able to tame inflation. But the Fed's going to keep with this. In fact, when the market was gesturing that the Fed's going to pivot, and that's why it rallied on Thursday and Friday nicely, the Fed presidents, about five of them, came out over the weekend and said really clearly on Friday and Saturday, the Fed's going to raise rates. The Fed, we're talking about Loretta Swift.
Yeah.
We're talking about James Bullard, St. Louis Fed chairman. We're talking Neil Kashkari, Minneapolis. All of them said that basically the same thing. We are just starting this out. We have not got inflation under control. It's our number one priority, and we're going to raise rates, and we have to do this adamantly. That's the verbiage coming from the Fed. So they upped their game saying, we're going to raise rates. I don't think that's not to tame inflation. So I think the Fed will do a better job, and I think they're going to miss the market at taming inflation than this bill will. This bill does not reduce inflation. It doesn't lower fuel prices. It doesn't lower fertilizer prices for farmers. Therefore, it doesn't lower food costs. It doesn't affect the chip shortages that in manufacturing that cost new and used cars to be higher in price. It doesn't lower housing prices associated with costs like lumber, cement, or copper. It doesn't lower interest rates. So we are going to have still an inflationary problem. There's less than 1% of an effect, according to Penn Wharton preliminary estimates, that this will actually reduce inflation. And Goldman Sachs says it's 0.1%. When Penn Wharton said it was 0.2% effect on inflation. So it's not going to have any effect on inflation. It's just the title of the bill. It's absolutely financial nonsense.
Yeah, it's just so ridiculous. And, of course, the Democrats being the Democrats, thanks to my buddy Bill on Facebook, just shared this one on National Review about they of course, got to get abortion access into this bill, the Inflation Reduction Act. So it says here, so the bill extends the credits through 2025 at a cost of an estimated $64 billion unless they're made permanent in the future. What credits? Well, that would be the Obamacare's premium tax credits for health care plans that cover elective abortion. So we got to extend that, which is going to cost us $64 billion. It's not going to lower anything. It's going to raise it. And, of course, trying to continue the Democrat position of murdering the unborn. So we got to subsidize that. What does that have to do with reducing inflation? I mean, it has nothing, of course.
So when we're sorry to interrupt, but
that's fine.
I read the one-page data sheet from the Democrats on the summary of this bill, and the third point or the second point on this is prescription drug pricing reform. They're saying it's going to bring in revenue of $288 billion, and they're citing the Congressional Budget Office. Boy, does the Congressional Budget Office have this thing wrong too, because it's not revenue coming in, it's just extending the government subsidization of lower drug costs and lower healthcare costs. So it's adulterated with unfactual numbers here. It's very unfortunate we're seeing this, and I think it's going to be a detriment to our country. We're going to look back a year from now, and we're going to say it didn't lower oil. Everything I said it didn't do, it probably won't.
Yeah, and we're going to see that. That's going to bear out. So has this affected any of the markets or stocks or metals in general since yesterday? I mean, it's early, but they hopefully are paying attention to what it does and what it doesn't do. But what's going to happen there?
Well, Wall Street always pays attention on something like this. They're talking about it on CNBC. It's been a big topic. The markets are pretty much flat. I mean, the Dow, as I speak, is up about 29 points. All the other two indexes are slightly down in the red. There is some stocks that are up. Solar stocks are soaring. Why? Because the government's going to give out the handout to the electronic.
Like Solyndra.
Yeah.
Exactly. Remember that one?
Say that again?
Solyndra. Remember that train wreck with Obama?
Yeah. So this is a mirror image of the Obama side of a belief. And Biden was vice president under Obama, and he's picking up the same antics, unfortunately. oil's not down, but Ford stock is through the roof, and so is General Motors. So there's automobile stocks that are going to benefit from this, and solar stocks. Silver is up through the roof, 3.6%. Why? Because we're going to use it in solar. It's the number one metal used in solar. So silver's up huge. Gold is up 0.75%. So stocks aren't booming. They're not really down. They're kind of more flat. Metals are up, one metal quite nicely. And I think you're going to see more of this behavior in the future. So you got to be really careful where you put your money. You got to be very selective because the market needs stimulation, needs news, in other words. And most of the news is not affecting the market, except for very small sectors. And metals happen to be a very positive one right now. Silver actually just jumped over 4%, 4.07%.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Yeah, back to Solyndra. So under the Obama administration, they co-signed $535 million in loans to Solyndra, and Solyndra went belly up in 2011. It just took a couple years, and they were gone. So you know it's this whole game that they're just continuing to use our money to pad the pockets of their green friends who are turning around and not getting anything done. And we want to talk about this 25, 30, 40, 50-year plan to see more renewable energy. Okay, fine. But they act like they can turn this stuff around in a matter of a year or two, and they can't. They literally cannot do it. And they want to talk about saving the earth, David, but they don't talk about all the mining that has to take place in order to create these batteries that operate these cars. It's just insanity.
It is, and they're saying it's going to reduce the deficit by around $300+ billion. It's not going to do any of that. It just seems like everything they're saying in this bill, while they're doing backflips and high fives, is just anticipate the opposite, and that's more of the reality where this is going. Unfortunately, I've never seen such financial antics as I see now. I thought I was blown away 2 weeks ago and a week ago when we talked about Michael Barr and him putting together the bail-in in 2010, and now he's in charge of this all this. I thought that was the cake. This is right in line with that.
Yeah, it really is amazing. From looking from the outside in, David, we're going to come up against a break so we can answer this and discuss this on the other side, and then I'm going to talk specifically about what precious metals are doing and how we can use those as a hedge against all this madness. But from the outside looking in, I want to ask you when we come back from the break, what do you think is driving this? I mean, are they that stupid? I don't think they're stupid. I just think there's special interests and things going on behind the scenes. But I want to get your take on that, what's actually driving what they're doing, when what they're doing isn't going to lower inflation, it's going to raise it. It's not good for anybody. But it's got to be good for some of their friends, right? We'll go there when we come. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, doing a full Money Monday with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. LandmarkGold.com, as always, is his website. LandmarkGold.com, kind of working our way through this big monstrosity, over $430 billion spending bill, essentially, even though they call it the Inflation Reduction Act. It's anything but. It's going to have the exact opposite effect, but nobody's talking about it. You hardly see it on any big conservative website right now. All the conservative news locations online, none of them are really putting that above the fold. That's just not there. Why they don't talk about it? Why aren't they highlighting it? Why don't they pull it apart? I have no idea. I don't understand why they don't make a bigger deal out of this. I think because a lot of people just don't understand it. The average American doesn't understand it. So they'd rather talk about the unfortunate death of Olivia Newton-John than the death of our nation's economy. I'm not minimizing the death of any human being made in the image of God, but it doesn't quite rise to the level of what our government is doing to future generations. But if we're willing to kill them in the womb, we might as well be willing to kill them financially. And that seems to be what's going on in D.C. all the time. David, again, thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Isaiah 5:20, even though we usually don't have a scripture on Monday, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. In other words, they turn this whole thing upside down. And that's what's happening here. The core belief system. I mean, I don't want to get off on the financial side, but this is where we're getting our financial belief from the government, not you and I, but that's what they're sending to us because their core beliefs are not biblically sound. A woman, they can't even define what a woman is anymore. The Bible makes very clear there is a man and there is a woman, and they are different. recently we've seen that undefinable.
In this,
and I'm not throwing stones at all Democrats. I'm just saying when you propagate that, that is not reality. That's not biblical either.
Right.
You know, and they also say a woman, even though she feels that baby kick her while he or she is in the womb of the mother, they're saying that person's not alive. Again, they're saying black is white and white, you know, totally upside down. We take it to the financial level, and they're doing the very same antics and same things, and I'm being very polite, shenanigans, antics. It's just ungodly, and it's ungodly financially. They're typically lowering taxes stimulates the economy and helps the middle class and the upper middle class to do well, and then in return, they can make pay taxes back to the government.
Right.
This is not a tax problem. This is a spending problem. And in raising taxes and going after the middle income earner to the middle upper income earner to the IRS, saying you're guilty until you prove yourself innocent, which is not how our country is founded, they're going to destroy this thing called the Great America one piece by one piece.
Yeah.
And because the economy is founded on the middle class. So they want to put these huge challenges back on the back of the middle income earner, you and I and others like us. And that's the destruction of a country, unfortunately. We've seen it happen in lots of nations. That's where we're going, unfortunately.
Yeah, and that, and that's the mystery to me still remains. I understand on the social issues. I understand that. I understand when they're talking about a man can get pregnant and all the madness of suppressing the truth and replacing it a lie, and men and women are interchangeable, or you can have one of 72 different genders on Facebook these days, whatever the case may be. I understand that because they have a reprobate mind given over to thinking that is just completely messed up. That's what reprobate means. The mind literally can't function correctly. But when it comes to these economic things, they've got to be sitting in a room somewhere, David, saying, okay, here's our goal here. Or do you think they're really that stupid that they're thinking, yeah, this is going to work? That's my question. I don't understand how they can kind of work through this when the simple economic realities are blowing in their face.
So obviously they believe, that this reprobate mind believes, if you tax people, they'll be happy. Remember the Great Reset? We talked about this.
Right, yes.
If they have nothing, they will be happy. If you spend lots of money, there won't be inflation, and it's just a big social handout. That's what this is more of, but on steroids. And it's not going to stop. It's going to go on for the next 2 years. And I hope, like the GOP says, you're going to get your time coming when we go to the polls here 2 years from now, because that's the only way we can fight against this insane belief system that they put out. And now they do it not just morally, but they do it financially. And it is going to bring the death of our country, unfortunately, because it is not biblically sound and fundamental.
That's right. Yep. Yeah, and that's ultimately what they want. They would never say that, but that's what progressives want. They've been working on that since the late 1800s, starting with the education system. It's to fundamentally remake America. That's what the Great Reset is about. I mean, they're right out there with it. And all of these Democrats subscribe to the Great Reset mindset that the whole thing needs to be shooken up and remade. This sounds rather biblical, doesn't it? Remade in a different image. And that image is just going to create a new god, which is the government, in this case, a worldwide government, and they have control of everything. And you'll own nothing and like it. And that's what they literally say that with the Great Reset. So it's just remarkable to look at all this stuff lining up. But we know, and listen, this is where, David, for you and I, and hopefully the vast majority of people listening or watching today, know Christ as Lord and Savior. And you know the overall trajectory is not great until Jesus comes back. And so we do the best we can in the meantime to not just bow the knee to what's going on in the physical world. But let's remember there's a kingdom that's being built here and a war that's already over. So God rules the universe with his feet up, and we can't let go of that. In terms of our reaction to this, just as regular folks out here just trying to earn a living and trying to save some money for retirement, how do we react to this? What does a prudent investor do to protect ourselves from this madness?
Well, don't let anger take over, and I had to watch myself this morning with this on other radio programs. But be of sound mind and be at peace. And so diversify. Don't have all your eggs in one basket, because if they're saying you're going to have nothing and you'll be happy, how do they get what you have?
Right,
the only way to do that is electronically, and that's the bail-in. The only way they do that is crash the system, and that's defaulting on our debt. And this is, we're headed to either a default or massive hyperinflation, or them seizing your money. So how, at the end, they've already disclosed to us how to do this. That's why it's so important. If they crash the system, gold will, and silver will probably go up a lot. I'm speculating. If they seize your money, gold and silver probably would have gone up a lot. And you wish you would have had something there, because it can't be seized because it's not electronic. It's physical. If they default, or they do inflation so much, the number one asset to hold in an inflationary environment is gold and silver. I'm not anti-stocks. I'm just saying now's the time to not just be having a portion of 7 to 8, because you do not know what tragedy may befall you. You might want to rebalance your portfolio, or look at some other things that are going up, because the dollar just broke down through its index. There's a new trend happening, and it looks like the dollar is going to move down now because it became too high. And that's why we saw gold retrace. But the physical markets in gold and silver are up very nicely this year, a little over 10%, while the indexes are down like 2% in gold. So now's the time to be learning on how you roll over your 401k, how you roll over a portion of your IRA, things like that. Diversify, because those that diversify, we get into another 2000 type of thing. It's not going to be identical, but something's going to give. The straw is going to break the camel's back. The Dutch boy can't plug all the holes in the dike. That's where you're going to want to make sure you have some gold and silver as a well-diversified portfolio.
And there's some, and I would caution people as well, and I caution myself and Gina as well, because for a lot of us, our home values have absolutely skyrocketed in the last couple of years, like ridiculous amounts. You're still going, oh wow, look at all the equity we have in our house. But with the way this economy is going, that can turn around and crash pretty quick. That if you're up 30 or 40%, you can be down 20 or 30 or 40% within 2 years. And I think there's a lot of us out there, David, right now going, yeah, but my house is worth so much more. I've got so much more money in my house. I'm good. But that's just sand. That's unrealized value, and that's going to change.
You're absolutely right, and I think it will change. And having money all in paper and saying that all that value is there is unrealized value too, unless you take it off the table and you put it into something that is a tangible. And I'm saying put all your money in gold and silver. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying in this day and age, if you have health insurance, life insurance, car insurance, you better have some wealth insurance, because the facts are very clear. This is how the government is coming after your money. And that's why they can't come after a gold and silver physical product through a bail-in, inflation, or things like that.
That's right. And that's always something so important to remember. And I'll remember that. I'll never forget that the day that we got our first shipment of some gold and silver products that we got through Landmark Capital. And it was, that was so unusual to have something that was an asset of ours that was physical that I could hold. Everything else, I go online and look at it, and it goes up and down. But this thing now sitting in a safe deposit box in a bank, I'm like, okay, at least I know that's safe, and that's a wonderful feeling. What do people do? They got to start this education process, David. How can you help them with that?
Simple. We have a packet. Call us, 844-604-2575. That number, 844-604-2575, or they can go to landmarkgold.com. I've been on other radio programs. Our phone has rang off the hook today because people saw this as the wake-up call.
Yeah, well, it certainly is. And that's where, again, just like for me, started back in 2016 when David and I first started talking, it took me some education before I would become a buyer myself, and education before David and I would start doing radio together. But once I was educated, then it all made sense to me, and I understood the value in all of it. So make sure you follow that same advice. Get educated. Again, David, how can they get a hold of you?
844-604-2575.
Excellent. Or the website is always landmarkgold.com. David, God bless you, brother. Thank you for helping us understand this. We'll keep an eye on it. We'll keep talking about it. We'll talk to you again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. We're here for everybody.
All right. Thanks, pal. That's great. God bless you. We'll talk soon. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, so good to hear this these days, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.